This is the Best Run Podcast, brought to you by SAP.
Thank you for joining us on the Best Run Podcast today. Today we're going to be talking to Wendy Middleton, who is from A Cut About Nutrition, and also Jennifer Noble, who's our Total Rewards Manager at SAP for Australia and New Zealand. They're going to give us some ideas on nutritional tips for busy executives. So Wendy, I'll get you to introduce yourself, please.
Sure. So I'm a qualified nutritionist and a caterer in Lane Cove. So I pretty much love everything about food. I know the health benefits of food, but also my cooking skills enable me to work with clients and help them to create beautiful, delicious meals in their home that's going to bring them the best health. So often we work together, we work out the foods that fuel their body and those that don't. So, and I'm all about healthy eating habits for life rather than radical short-term diets. So I have a particular interest in food intolerances. So you can help clients identify and overcome these intolerances and just see some real significant improvements in their overall well-being. I just really enjoy sharing all my, basically a really healthy love of food. So I work with corporations educating teams through workshops. We do webinars, which we've done many with SAP, which has been fantastic, and cooking demonstrations.
And Jen, I love your title, Total Rewards Manager. You know, we benefit from that greatly at SAP. Can you just give some insights as to what you do in your role?
I manage the compensation, benefits and wellness programs for SAP. So a very broad role. And in terms of, I am the health ambassador for Australia and New Zealand, hence my passion to build and design health and wellbeing programs to really help our employees run healthy.
And obviously there are lots of benefits from a nutritional perspective for both employees and for employers. For instance, definitely for employees, we're going to see an increase in health awareness and knowledge, increase in physical health, but more than that, an increase in mental well-being. Is there anything else you want to add to that, Wendy?
Yeah, definitely. For mental health, like food has such a big impact. You know, blood sugar levels can keep you having stable moods, but there's also certain nutrients that help your brain power really well. And it's not just food, you know, it's sleep, which is really important, and all these other elements and exercise, which have such a big impact on your mental health.
And Jen, from an employer perspective, obviously the healthier your employees are, the more productive they are. And I've read some things that talk about that they can be 3 times more productive with the right nutrition. Is there anything else that you want to add from that perspective in terms of benefits to employers?
I think ultimately it's about how we can better educate our employees to really understand the importance of nutrition. I think a lot of our food habits are shaped from our early childhood. And, you know, do we ever really recheck and evaluate, you know, how healthy they are? So for me, it's around really being a multiplier to really make employees take the time to invest in their own health. Because ultimately, SAP is a very caring company and wants to, it's about making employees, looking after our greatest asset, you know, which are our employees, and we want them to be healthy and happy. So hence, you know, the health and wellbeing program and the nutritional, the Eat Well program that we've rolled out in ANZ over the last couple of years. So it's very key for me to just be a multiplier and to educate and to provide the opportunity for employees to come and ask questions. You know, the seminars that we run, you know, gives them our expert nutritionists on hand to answer any questions they may have about what they consume, to share tips. So it's about the ecosystem really driving a healthy culture within SAP.
And Jen, besides the seminars, what are some of the other steps that people can take to achieving their healthy eating habits?
I guess the first thing that I would suggest is really around taking stock in terms of their current food intake. And it's, you know, so important for us to think about the foods that we consume, you know, day to day. And do we really think about and assess the impact that it has, that the foods we consume, what that has on our day-to-day in terms of our energy levels, how we feel, you know, our sleep. So I think the first thing is really to do that check-in and do a undergo a dietary assessment, which will really provide employees with that baseline to say, you know, you know, are they consuming, what kind of, how much salt and sugar are in the foods they're consuming, you know, the fat. Do they understand in terms of, do they read labels? I mean, how many people take the time to truly look at the labels? And it's frightening, actually. When you look at labels and you see the percentage of salt, sugar and fat and the false advertising that you see on packaging can be quite concerning. So it's really in terms of that dietary assessment is really important to, for employees, for everybody to assess in terms of what they eat and the nutritional value as a baseline to then say, okay, well, how can I improve that moving forward? So Wendy, I think it'd be a good opportunity for you to maybe share some of the different assessments that people can undertake to get that initial kind of feel for in terms of the foods that they consume and, you know, looking in terms of building their health plan for the future.
Yeah, I agree, Jen. It's so important to have a take stock of where you are. So there's a number of ways you can do this. You can do it through an app. So Chronometer is an app that I really like. It's got data in there that is reliable and good quality, but there's MyFitnessPal, any app. You can, we've got a food diary, a food assessment tool where you can, we've got a PDF, an editable PDF where you can upload that, which I think we will have linked to this, and you can assess that. You can just do a Google Doc and talk into your phone, or another way, just take photos of every meal you're having, start some albums, and then go back. The key is then to go back and review it. Do it for at least 3 days. 7 would be ideal. Make sure 1 day is on the weekend, because that's often quite different to what you're having during the week. But go back and assess, look for patterns. So you might see not enough veggies, which is really common. There was a study in 2018 by ABS, and they established it's only 7% of Australians who eat the recommended 5 serves of veggies every day, which is just startling. So that's a common thing, or you might be having sweets every night after dinner, or you might skip breakfast. So just look at the patterns. Then I would recommend that you select one area to make a change. Please don't overhaul your diet in one foul sweep. Small steps are really the key to success. So that would definitely be the first step. You need to know where you are now and select a small change and run with it.
And I think that small steps attitude is probably the right one, because everyone's really busy these days, and you know, nutrition is competing with lots of other things as well in terms of people's, what they have in their minds and what they need to get done. So what's a common area that you find people really struggle with when it comes to changing their nutritional habits?
Yeah, definitely breakfast. This is really common. As you say, it's everyone's time poor. We eat on the run, we grab a coffee or a piece of toast. Or you might think, oh, I want to lose weight, so I'm going to skip breakfast. But this is really one area that I would encourage you not to skip. I don't mind when you have breakfast, as long as your first meal of the day is nourishing. So the benefits you're going to see, you're going to have more energy, you're going to have focus, you're going to work a lot better, be more productive. It'll stop your carb cravings during the day. It sets you up for healthy lunch choices, and this is really important. Then you choose a healthy lunch. Then that sets you up for choosing healthy dinner. It has this beautiful flow-on effect. But the other reason is that your metabolism actually peaks in the middle of the day. So I'd much prefer you have a nourishing breakfast when your body's really firing well and can digest it. So what is a healthy breakfast? So I really want you to think about protein, carbohydrate and healthy fat in every meal or snack that you have. So, you know, when you could devour biscuits or chips, you know, it's just carbohydrate. You need protein and the healthy fat to slow the release of blood sugar into your system, and that gives you a steady stream of energy. So that might be eggs are your protein, bit of spinach, bit of rocket or avocado. But it can be something like boiling a couple of eggs the night before. You might have an apple and some almonds, and that could be your breakfast. It doesn't have to be fancy. I love leftovers for breakfast. I think the more people who could eat dinner for breakfast would be fantastic. A chia pudding is probably, if you've listened to the webinars, I'm always going on about chia pudding, and I've got a recipe that's so simple, but you can make 4 serves. You can even put some in the freezer, top it with yogurt, nuts, seeds, berries. I can't tell you how energizing and satisfying that breakfast is. I think chia actually means strength. It was first used by the Aztec warriors, and they used to have a tablespoon and go off to battle. But things like granola, so just think that's quite high in carbohydrate. So you've got to think, okay, I need to add some protein. Yogurt would be fantastic. Some nuts and seeds, and then berries for the extra antioxidants and vitamins. So perhaps look at what you're eating now and think, okay, does it have protein, carbohydrate, and healthy fat?
So my kids are always wanting to eat leftovers for breakfast. Their favourite thing would be pasta or lasagna. Is that something you would recommend?
I thought you were going to say pizza.
Pizza's another one, yes.
Okay, a little bit of pasta with some berries. Some protein, some meat in there, and some spinach and veggies, and yes, no problem.
And can you just provide some tips on how planning ahead is really going to assist with improving your nutrition?
We have so much knowledge. It's just everywhere, and knowledge is power, but we need to action this knowledge. And I think this is where we often fall apart, and this is where planning comes into play. So planning may be 1 week ahead, you plan your meals, 2 days or that morning. I know for me, I couldn't plan a whole week. I just prefer to wing it a bit more. But don't leave it to the last minute, because you're going to walk in from work. You are going to look at that fridge. Your body is dropping in blood sugar level, and you're going to be craving carbs, and you're going to grab the wrong food. So just have a think about it in the morning, perhaps what you're going to make that night. But meal prep, so if you're super organized, like, go with your strengths. Some people are super organized. They love having everything organized. Do your meal prep for a week. If you're not that type, don't force yourself to be like that. You could just simply cook a whole chook, some brown rice, cut up some veggies, and that might be your meal prep for a couple of days. But just one tip regarding this is, whenever you are cooking, make double and put that extra portion away before you eat, rather than, because you tend to go back and eat it. So that's going to help definitely with being prepared.
Jen, what are you seeing amongst the employees at SAP in terms of their nutrition?
I think in terms of, we've increased their awareness about, you know, the foods they're consuming. So in the kitchen areas, I will kind of have a chat to employees, and you'll see them coming out with, you know, healthier options. And we're lucky we've got fruit available to our employees. So I think people are starting to really think about their food choices more, and really, you know, starting to change their habits. And I think last year when we rolled out Healthy Habits, One Simple Thing, it's about making small changes, and it's about doing everything in moderation. So it's not about throwing everything out of the window. It's just about actually thinking about, it's changing the mindset and our relationship with food. So I think employees are really starting to think about, with all the information we're sharing at our webinars and the recipes, it actually makes them think about, okay, what is the more healthy food choice here in terms of for lunch? You know, we did a great food demo last year where we did salad in a bowl. So, you know, so it's about how, as a busy professional, how we can kind of really, kind of incorporate that into our daily, you know, our busy day, and kind of plan ahead, and actually then, you know, our call to action is then deliver on it. So it's, I can see it happening. People are really in the offices. It's kind of like a multiplier effect. People will, you know, talk about it. You know, I think there's little kind of mini groups around sharing recipes, and it's great because Wendy brings along some great samples of healthy foods, and then we share the recipes with the employees. So I think it's just about getting the word out there and really sharing, because it's about, you know, how we can kind of then go home to our family and friends, the people that we love, to share this important information about how important nutrition is to us, you know, from a day-to-day basis, but also from a longevity basis. You know, if we think about how many people really understand who, in terms of whether they're at risk of heart disease or diabetes or stroke, it's, you know, food plays such an integral part of life and our well-being. So it's about really creating awareness. And I think at SAP, you know, since we started this program a couple of years back to now, if we, you know, went around and we surveyed our employees, they would definitely be able to share in terms of something they've taken away from their sessions and actually applied it to their daily lives to improve their eating habits.
Wendy, you know, one day coffee's great for you, the next day red wine is great for you, the next day it's not. Can you just give some advice on some of those, I guess, fads or stats? Yeah.
Okay, so what worked for your friend, it may not work for you. That's the first thing. It is so tricky. I mean, I get overwhelmed. I love reading all this information, but it is mind-boggling. Just look back to basics. What you will find with all these diets, keto, vegan, paleo, one thing they all have in common is whole foods. So, and lots of plant-based vegetables. So just getting back to basics is where you need to be going before you start perhaps trying fasting or a ketogenic diet. I mean, ketogenic diet was first introduced in the 20s. It was used to treat children with epilepsy, and it has been found to really help with the severity and the incidence of epileptic fits in children. Now they're studying that for Alzheimer's, which is all, that's fantastic. But if you don't have the basics right, you're not ready to start these other diets. And then you've got to work out what is best for you. And remember, you always hear the big success stories. You're not going to hear the stories about, oh, I tried ketogenic, I felt terrible, I had no energy. You rarely hear those on social media. So take it with a grain of salt.
Although salt's not good
for you. No, sea salt is. Yeah. It's the processed salt that's not.
And what about fasting diets, Wendy? Can you share your view on
that? So just the fasting diets definitely becoming so popular. So intermittent fasting, I don't know if anyone's tried it, but that pretty much is keeping your eating within a 6 to 8 hour window. So you might have breakfast at 11, dinner at 7. Now there's many studies being done on this, you know, it helps with weight loss, your blood sugar regulation, can reduce inflammation, helps with liver health. And actually our next webinar is going to be all on liver health and looking after your lovely liver, but it can protect you from neurodegeneration. Many of our body's repair processes happening when we're in this sort of rest state rather than digesting, and it actually stimulates autophagy, which is the body's way of cleaning out damaged cells and allows room for new cells, so which slows the aging process. This is really, really important. So it's good. Generally, I just think we eat too much.
Yeah.
Snacking all the time. I think just a rest from eating, and that's where this fasting is very interesting, but it's not for everyone. So if you're hypoglycemic, you have diabetes, children, if you're pregnant, you don't want to be doing fasting. If you have a thyroid issue, so if you have hypothyroidism or Hashimoto's, an autoimmune condition, your metabolism is already running slow. It's a little sluggish because your thyroid is sluggish, and that's dictating your metabolism. Now you fast, it has the potential to slow your metabolism even worse, so you wouldn't want to be doing fasting in that case. But one thing is a really great thing to do is make your dinner 2 to 3 hours before you go to sleep. Sleep is really important. Sleep makes up for the mistakes of the day. It's when we rest, we repair. And you don't want to be digesting when you're sleeping. And I've had so many clients who actually do this and go, oh, I sleep much better. And then try and have a 12-hour fast overnight. So dinner at 7, breakfast at 7 a.m. That's not that difficult. It's just giving your body a break. And if you have that dinner 2 to 3 hours before bed, it's very easy to do a 12-hour fast. You know, in an ideal world, you should have breakfast, lunch, dinner. If you have a particularly busy day, haven't slept well, or you've been training hard, you might want an afternoon snack, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, if you're looking for a snack mid-morning, I would be going back and looking at your breakfast, and I'd be adding more to your breakfast. And primarily that's going to be protein or healthy fat that you're going to need.
What's a healthy fat?
Okay. Oh, I love talking about healthy fats. Okay, healthy fats, generally they're high in omega-3s, but these are things like nut oils. So it's going to be your olive oil, walnut oil, macadamia oil, coconut oil, butter, ghee, avocado, nuts and seeds. They're all healthy fats. They contain omega-3s and they're known to be anti-inflammatory, whereas the problem with your vegetable oils and seed oils is that they promote inflammation in the body. Now, the ratio for omega-6s to omega-3s should be about 2 to 1 in our diet, but because of all our processed foods, it's like 16 to or 20 to 1. Mm. And so the bad oils then are your vegetable or canola oil, all the seed oils, cottonseed oil. Go home tonight, throw them all in the bin.
Rice bran oil.
Rice bran oil out. Olive oil, macadamia, all more expensive. But this is money you will have to pay later in life in medications if you don't look after your health now. And they taste so much better.
So the good old sort of bacon and egg roll is not really the right kind of fat then?
Well, no, like bacon and eggs, not a problem. You don't want to be eating lots of bacon necessarily, but once or twice a week it's protein. Eggs are like a little multivitamin. Eggs are awesome.
Can you eat too many eggs in a week?
No, look, you don't want to be – like with everything you need variety. So don't be – I have a son who's trying to build up going to the gym. He's young-ish, like early 20s, and, oh, my God, he's eating so many eggs, and I'm a bit concerned. But variety is definitely because you need the different nutrients.
And I think that's the other sort of fad that's sort of crept up on us is really this these powders. So whey, for instance, is another one that's sort of, out there at the moment. What is your view on those?
I'm concerned primarily with all the additives that are in them. There can be a place for quality protein powders, but you look at these ones primarily, they're cheap, they're full of sugars, additives, not very good quality form of protein. I mean, an egg is the best form of protein. So, you know, smoothies can be great because if you're on the run, it's easy for you to digest, but you can add protein with some yogurt, you know, some nut butter. There's other ways of putting protein in.
Great. We're just going to wrap up. But Jen, do you have any other trends that you're seeing out there that you want to comment on before we close?
I think it's about how we can use technology more effectively for everybody to be better informed about their food choices. So there's so much technology to really to find out information about foods, to kind of really understand in terms of, you know, to work out your stats. You know, if you look at the Fitbits, you can see in terms of your heart rate, your steps. So I think it's about encouraging. What I really see is more people kind of consuming technology more, and I think that's where SAP is really focusing on how we can build that technology to support the health and well-being, to help employees and I guess the general community run healthier. And I think it's looking at the broad range of technology from diet, from nutrition to physical wellness and so on. So I guess I would say that's probably where the future lies and how we can encourage people to tap in, how they can tap into the different technology sources to help them achieve better health and happiness.
Wendy, any final thoughts from you?
Yes, I think it's so great to assess where you're at. I would love for you to just think about what we've chatted about and just to take one small thing. Might be looking at your breakfast or making sure you have dinner a little earlier. Just something that resonated with you. Just run with that very small thing and just work on it. Make it a habit. Like it's like cleaning your teeth. We don't think about that anymore. That's a habit. And that's what you need to be trying to do with your healthy eating habits is just take one thing at a time, work on it until it's just natural. You don't even think about it.
And write it down.
Yes, they and say. Tell everybody.
Exactly. And reward yourself. You know, I think it's you need to reward yourself for kind of actually sticking with it. So that's another suggestion.
Well, thank you both. It's been great chatting about nutrition in the workplace. Not just the workplace, of course, because we know nutrition obviously is a great way to actually improve your whole work-life balance overall. For anyone who wants to know more about what we do at SAP and our workplace initiatives, you can Google SAP Great Place to Work and it'll come up with a number of great ideas for you to take away. Thank you for listening to the Best Run Podcast.
You've been listening to the Best Run Podcast. Brought to you by SAP.